Good morning, everyone. My name is Mitch. I'm the pastor here at 10:30. Keep your Bible open. We're going to start in Psalm 16 and we're going to finish in Acts chapter 2. So keep your Bible open or your phone at the ready, and I'm going to pray and ask God to help us. So let's pray. Our God, you are indeed very powerful. And when we think of the idea that you can move mountains and form the earth, it seems mind-blowing. Yet your most powerful act is to reach into the mind and heart of whoever you want and to do what you want. Some of us today, Father, need our hearts challenged and exposed. Some of us need our hearts warmed and encouraged. But Father, all of us need you to be at work in us. And so we pray that you would do that this morning, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. 2574 is my PIN number. 2008157 24 is my student number. S00006 1 is my library number. You might want to write this one down. 4648259104506595 is my credit card. And you'll need this, 811, that's the credit card verification. 13176986, that's my license, and 160282 is my date of birth. With those codes and passwords, you can steal my identity and all of my security is gone. We all have those kind of things, don't we? All those kind of numbers and passwords and codes that sort of build up around us and give us a sense of safety and protection from having our identity and our money and, worst case, our Facebook stolen. Or you might have other habits as well. I remember actually before I was married, what I used to do before I go to sleep is check the other side of the bed. Because if you're the boogeyman, you're not going to hide on the side of the bed where I normally get in, right? So I'd go to get into bed and then I'd check the other side and then I'd feel safe and then I could go to sleep. You've probably got some other kind of security blankets as well. Things you do that keep you safe. I don't know if you've got a checking the other side of the bed habit, or for you it might be looking inside the cupboard in case there's a robber hiding before you go to bed. Or something for you could be another place of refuge or something that makes you feel safe. Some of us have put a few kilos or a stone on over Christmas and you'll feel like you're much safer once that's gone. Some of us find refuge in our financial investments or the share markets, depending on which week it is, whether or not that makes you feel safe. There are all kinds of places where we can go to find safety and comfort and refuge. Today, in this psalm, which is by King David, the great king of ancient Israel, the people of God, he is saying that his sense of safety comes from God, the Lord. That's what makes him feel safe. That's where he runs to. Verse 1 of the psalm tells us this. David says, "Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge." So what we're going to do today is turn to this psalm and see why it is that David can say he takes refuge ultimately in God. All right, what we're going to do is see three reasons he takes refuge, an ultimate reason, and why Jesus is better. Three reasons, an ultimate reason, and then why Jesus is better. Here's the first reason. David has made a choice that he will choose God over everyone else. God over everyone else. Wherever else he looks, he's just going to go back to God. It's like, blokes will relate to this, I think. There's a wedding coming up, and a lot of people around you seem to be talking about what they're going to wear to the wedding and stuff like that. And most blokes, I think we just go to the cupboard and you go, no, oh, wedding shirt. And you choose that over everything else. And David does this, you know. He looks around and sees all these other things and he thinks, you know what, I'm going to choose God. And it sounds obvious because he's like, you know, God's special king. But think about who he is. This is the guy at this time who is the most powerful ruler in the ancient world. He has the biggest army in the ancient world, the biggest secret service. He has a legion of subjects who are very happy because of the peace that he has bought them. And a lot of women are very pleased with who David is. If David wanted to feel a sense of safety or satisfaction, he could hide behind his army on the front lines. He could hide behind his secret service and feel safe. He could have any one of his groups of subjects cheer about him. He could have any woman that he wanted. Safety and refuge could come from anywhere. But David says no in verse 2. He says to the Lord, "You are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." And see, it's not even the obvious choice for everyone in his nation. And David feels that tension because he looks around and he sees that not everyone chooses the Lord. There are a group of people who chase after other gods, and there are a group of people who choose the Lord. And what David says is, because I choose the Lord, I'll stand up for the people who choose the Lord, but I will not do any sacrifices, or I will not help those who run after other gods. I choose refuge in God. Let me read from verse 3. As for the saints, those who trust the Lord who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom I delight. But in verse 4, the sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I won't represent them. I won't pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. In this song about refuge and being kept safe, David says the first thing is, I just choose God. I will take refuge in him. The second reason that David says he takes refuge in God is because God has done everything he'd ever promised. The chips have fallen well for David. The boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places, and David is very pleased when he looks around. I remember growing up when my parents built their first house, well, their first and only house, actually, and there'd been a lot of build-up and hoo-ha, you know, we'd chosen colours, the half-apricot bathtub and stuff like that. And then the house got up to lock-up stage, and it didn't have electricity connected, but you could lock it. And so we took the 40-minute drive and some foam mattresses, Mum and Dad and I, and we went to the house, and we were going to sleep the night in the dark and have fish and chips. And I remember Mum and Dad walking around, and it was like an episode from The Castle. You look around like, that half-apricot bathtub, that's better than I thought. And they were just so pleased. It had turned out so well. See, when David looks around here at his land when he's in Psalms, he sees, yeah, God's done it. This is great. In fact, if you go all the way back to Numbers 34, which is long before David and long before they're in this land where David is, in Numbers 34, it kind of meticulously catalogues what David's land should have looked like. It lays out the boundaries long before they're there. And so if you read it, you would see that kind of the eastern boundary should sort of go from the desert of Sin down through the Scorpion Pass and off to Kadesh Barnea. And that's what it should be. And you come hundreds of years later and David looks off his deck out over the eastern boundary, and there it is. It's right. And David can say, God has done exactly what he said. In verse 5, Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. In verse 6, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. He's feeling safe. Having decided to go with God, God has done everything he'd ever promised. And so David takes refuge in him. You know, this is not mainly what the psalm's about, but it's worth taking just a short bypass here. It is actually nice, I think, when you're one of the people of God and you look around off your deck in the afternoon and things are going well. You know, your house is pretty good. For once, the family's going all right. And the grass is green, work's okay, you've had a nice afternoon. I think it's appropriate to be with God in that and to thank him. And just say, God, thank you. You've filled my cup and the boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places. Just like David did. Not the main point of what's happening though, because David really is talking about the reasons why he's got security in God. One, he chooses God. Two, God has done what he's promised. And the third reason we're going to look at here before we get to the ultimate reason is that David feels like God is at before his eyes every step of the way. David feels like the Lord is always with him. In fact, the Lord is his close personal friend. David says he has a personal relationship with God. And in these next few verses, what we find is that of all the relationships David could have had, the one he counts as closest to his heart is with God. You know, it's not his advisors. It's not the mates he was trained with as a child in his Jewish religion. It's not his wife or any one of his companions that he really counts as close to him, but the one that brings a joy, a sense of completeness, the one he longs to go to and talk with, is his God. You know, at 3 a.m. in the morning, after David has had a disastrous argument with his wife and he cannot sleep, from the depth of his heart, he knows that God is there with him. In fact, in these next verses, there's a word translated heart, which is where we see as the kind of seat of our emotions and stuff like that. But in the ancient world, they believed the seat of your emotions and your being was kind of in your kidneys. And it's a nice visual, but they translated heart for us. It's like he felt God was there, just giving him a, you know, boost, holding him secure, right at the center of his body. The Lord's presence was felt always by David. From verse 7, he says, "I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken." Do you notice there in verse 8 that David says, God is at his right hand? It just struck me when I read that as how unusual that is. Because when you say of someone, oh, they're my right-hand man, what you normally mean is they're sort of, you know, my lackey, they'll do anything for me. Or if I need to get something done, I'll just call on them. Here is David, who's a bloke, who's talking about the Lord of the universe. And the Lord of the universe, reliability is such, and closeness is such, and trustworthiness is such, that David says, you know, God, he's my right-hand man. He's always there. David experienced a deep personal relationship with his God. Three reasons David called on God as his refuge. One, he chose God over all other things. Two, God had done just what he'd promised for David. And three, David had a close personal relationship with him. But the ultimate reason is really what clinches it. The ultimate reason to have the Lord as his refuge is the Lord's power over death. The Lord is the only one who holds the grave at bay for David. Now, for David, this is not a kind of abstract idea where he kind of read a bunch of things and he thought, oh yeah, I can see God looks after death. For David, as the kind of special king of God, there are at least 10 serious close shaves on his life where he should have died if he were anyone else, but God stopped him from dying. Let me rattle off some for you. There's the famous battle between a tiny David and a giant Goliath. No one would back David in that battle. Then there was the former king, Saul, who tried to king David, and it got very hairy once when David's in a dark cave and 3,000 enemy soldiers are out waiting to kill him, but he survived. He goes for round one with the arch enemies, the Philistines. Not long after sitting on the royal throne, the old royal family come after him with daggers. Then round two with the Philistines, where David leads them into battle. Then he marches to war with the bloodthirsty Ammonites, followed by a battle with Absalom, who tries to kill him. In 2 Samuel 16, there is a bizarre incident where a bloke named Shimei chases David on the road, throwing rocks at him, trying to kill him. After this, Sheba rebels, which is like a bunch of warriors coming for you. Round three with the Philistines, and the book of Kings starts with Adonijah trying to get David's neck. Again and again and again, someone is trying to kill this bloke, and every time, protected. And David knows God's hand has been in it. There is no way God would let David come to an untimely death. No way. And David celebrates that in verse 10. He says, "Lord, you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay." David feels safe with God, ultimately because of God's power over death. It's God's kind of micromanagement of David's pulse that makes David feel ultimately safe. Three reasons, one ultimate reason. But there is, I think, an elephant in the room. David sort of talked about how God has held the grave at bay for him. And I don't know about you, but I haven't seen David for a while. Because he's dead. Not alive anymore. And this is where I want to finish this morning. I want to turn to Acts chapter 2 and see why it is that, just like David, now billions take refuge in God through the Lord Jesus. So if you've got a Bible, turn to Acts chapter 2, or on your phone, and I'm going to do that. What's happening in Acts chapter 2 is it's, you know, a few days since the Lord Jesus has risen from the grave, and he's actually just ascended to go back to be with his Father, and it's shaken up the Jewish world because they're people who don't yet trust in Jesus, but they're gathered in Jerusalem at the end of a festival, and there's a buzz around town. And these Jews who have known about God and David, who's taken refuge in God, are saying to the apostles, what is going on? What do we need to know about this Jesus? Tell us what we need to know. And the apostle Peter takes them to the psalm we've just looked at. And he reads out to them from Psalm 16 and says, here's what you need to know. As David said, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. I'm in verse 25 of Acts chapter 2. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also live in hope because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. And here's the thing. Peter knows the elephant in the room. Because, you know, you can see him thinking, if you stop there and just have David saying, I trust God because he protects me from death, there's a big problem because David is dead. And he goes on to say it just like that. He's going to repeat it three times. He's going to say, brothers and sisters, guess what? David's dead. It's in verse 29 of Acts chapter 2. Look, fellow Jews, brothers and sisters, I can tell you confidently that this patriarch David died, he was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. The refuge is very uncertain if it's just David. But Psalm 16 was looking forward to the resurrection of Jesus. When King Jesus once and for all would not just be held back from an untimely death, but would die and come back to life. And the grave would be put away forever. Jesus is not abandoned to the grave. His body does not decay, because in Acts chapter 2, verse 31, God has raised this Jesus to life. I think David had good reasons to find refuge in God. Now, because of Jesus, we have infinitely more. Do you get that Jesus is an absolute revolution? Not just his teaching, not just his death for our sin, but his resurrection from the dead. It means we can know that death is not the end. It means somebody's been to a funeral, not as a guest, but as the star attraction, and they've come out the other side and they can say, hey, here's what happens after you die, come with me. The resurrection of Jesus is truly a reason to take refuge in him. What ultimately makes you safe? What do you take refuge in? Keep me safe. Oh, vitamin supplements, for in you I take refuge. I say to my celebrity Slim Shakes, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I will praise my weather radar app, which cancels me even late at night, instructs my heart. I have my satellite navigation always before me because you're at my right hand. I will never be shaken, at least not for long. I know it sounds silly, but sometimes we can wander through life just seeking these small little refuges. First, if you're a non-Christian here this morning, I want to talk to you for a minute, and here's why. Because I think sometimes if you don't, you know, have a faith or follow God or trust the Lord Jesus, you can sort of go through life finding refuge and safety in different things. If your family's going well, you feel safe and that's all right. If you've got a bit of money, you feel safe and that's good because it does that. If you have a nice holiday, you feel safe and that's a bit of a refuge. But there's got to be a point where either you stop thinking or go to utter despair. Because all those little refuges will work for a while, but then you will die. And my question to you is, what is your answer to the question, what will keep you safe through death or on the other side of death? If you don't trust the Lord Jesus, the only way you can deal with that is, seems to me, it's just not think about it. go through life pretending it's not there. You know, Christians are often, I think, we're accused of being irrational for not asking enough questions about my faith. I actually think it's a mighty irrational position to not ask hard questions about death and what will keep you safe through there. Because this morning, the Lord Jesus is saying to us, he has been through the grave, he has not decayed, and he's calling us to take refuge in him. And you know, this morning, this will be the last thing I say, there are some of you for whom your day has not been great so far. Some of you for whom your week has not been great. And there'll be people in this room for whom your life has not been great. And you love the idea of refuge. And you love the idea of being kept safe. Can I tell you again this morning that God will keep you safe in him when you take refuge in the Lord Jesus. With him, your body will not decay. And with him, you can rest secure. Let me pray for us. Our Father, this morning, I ask that you would reveal to us the things that we take refuge in. Show us the ones we take too much refuge in that are really just temporary stuff that we can enjoy for a while. And help us to ask the hard questions about death. We thank you, Father, for the honesty of the Apostle Peter, who basically says, well, David's dead, so where's the refuge? The refuge is in the Lord Jesus, who came back from the grave, who shows us the path of life, safety through death. We pray that we would trust him this morning, and you would give us security in taking refuge in him. Amen.